with the Lord's help, we want to consider this evening one of the prayers of Solomon. And so we would turn again to the first book of Kings, chapter 3. And I believe we have before us something which is quite unique. A prayer that is made unto God. And yet the person who makes this prayer is asleep. Turning then to 1 Kings 3, I'll read from verse 5 through 9. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" I believe we first this evening need to look back to the third verse, where it says that Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Here is one that loves the Lord. But why does he love the Lord? Well, the answer is given us in the scriptures. We love him because he first loved us. And it is simply and plainly upon these grounds that if anyone is a lover of God, it is because they are in the covenant of grace, chosen, elect, and sure. And it is a wonderful mercy, it is an evidence of the divine grace that God has entered into our hearts, because it is not in our nature so to love God. It is an act, a sovereign act, of our Almighty God to put that grace in our hearts by His Holy Spirit. Then the hymn writer says, "'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious care. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not?" And of course the answer, again we say, is if you love the Lord, then it is not a doubtful case. And although we will never feel to love him sufficiently, as Gatsby in his great hymn says, "Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more." And we know that there are times in our Christian experience when our hearts grow somewhat cold, and we need the Holy Spirit to revive us and to strengthen us once again. But that love may fade, but never die. And here is our mercy, that we are the Lord's people. And if we are the Lord's people, then the Lord will appear unto us. Maybe not in the way that he appeared unto Solomon. As I said before, this is rather a unique case. We know that the Lord appeared to men in dreams and in visions, as he did to the prophets of old. But I think this is rather a singular case. We must remember that Solomon was a very young man. Some have tried to ascertain his age, some have put him at the age of 12, but if you look at the genealogy, that cannot be. But probably in his late teens, a young man full of the grace of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Does not the scripture remind us, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth? And those that are brought to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ in their early years are highly favored indeed. Some indeed have to wait until middle life. A few have to wait to older years. And we have but one example of one in his dying hours who came to love the Lord, the dying thief, of course. We only read of one. Then we have to ask ourselves a question. How is it with me? Do I love the Lord? Or no, am I his, or am I not? The devil wants to paint the middle ground. As I've reminded you before, the old preachers, they used to speak of a thing being either black or white. But it seems to me that the church today wants to paint a large grey area in between. That cannot be. We are either right with God or we are not. We are either saved or we are lost. We are either in the covenant of grace or we are servants of the devil. Now, where is it with us? Solomon desired to worship God. And we may consider in reading these chapters that there was a certain ignorance there, for they worshipped in the high places. But, of course, Gibeon should have been the only high place, the only place of worship until the temple was established in Jerusalem. What a great sacrifice Solomon made. And there, again, I believe he was trying to demonstrate just how much he loved the Lord. His generosity was exceedingly great. He gave much unto the Lord, not considering that he could earn salvation, but because he knew of God's salvation, because the Lord had previously caused him to realize that he was one of the Lord's. And so on this certain night, the Lord appeared. And the Lord asks Solomon a question. Ask what I shall give thee. Here is a great question that would deserve a great answer. Ask, said the Lord Jesus Christ, and it shall be given unto you. But what should we ask for? And what did Solomon ask for? And here we have a pattern of what the child of God is rightly disposed to ask for at the throne of grace. Now, none of us can pray except prayer be afforded unto us. We do not have it inherently within us. It's not something that we're born with and grow up with. Yes, faithful parents will teach their children to pray. They give them a pattern of what prayer is. But until the Lord, the Holy Spirit, indicts real prayer in our hearts, we may pray many prayers, and yet those prayers are not heard. There are very few in this world who, coming into a time of desperate need, do not call upon the name of the Lord. Remember Jonah, when he was seeking to run away from God and had entered into the ship, and the storm blew up and the little vessel was in peril of sinking. Everyone called upon their gods. And so I believe it is that man has no need for prayer until, in his time of desperation, he comes to call, and for the most part he calls upon an unknown god. How many, when they are dying, speak perhaps the first prayers in their life, and yet to whom do they pray? Because they have never known this God, and have never known answers to previous prayers. I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? We can speak words. There are certain people who can speak very eloquently and have an ability with words to be able to form prayers. But it's often the poor stumbling saint that feels so wretched in his prayers that perhaps prays the best prayers. If we think we have an ability to pray, then you can be fairly sure that this is not real prayer. But the Lord is able to give us words. He's able to give us an utterance at the throne of grace. Now, remarkably, Solomon was asleep. That is, his body was in repose, but his mind was active. And the Lord stirred up his mind by coming to him, revealing himself, and posing this great question. And in Solomon's answer, we will see that he was sensible of what he was speaking. It is most proper then to consider that in this prayer, the words did not so much come from the mind of Solomon, but from his heart. Here was something real, something vital, as he comes before God. Now, the first part of his prayer, he remembers God's former mercies, and especially God's former mercies unto his father David. And how blessed it is that Solomon is able to appeal unto God with the life of his father, and could state these things concerning him, that God had shown him great mercy, that David had walked before God in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart. You'll notice how Solomon passes over his father's thoughts. And we have many examples in the scripture in the New Testament to show that God also passes over the faults of his people. Solomon remembers then that God is a faithful God in dealing with his servants according as the grace is given unto them, so to live before him. Do we know something of that work of grace in walking out our lives before the Lord? And can we remember God's dealings with former saints, perhaps not a father or a mother, but those that we have known in the church or known by association of some kind, and how they witnessed a good warfare of faith. And we recognize that it was only by the grace of God that they lived as they did. They were not perfect. There's not one man on this earth that is perfect. All sin, all come short, all are miserable offenders. Yet we see the tenor of their lives, we see their soul's disposition, because as the apostle says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks these words unto his disciples, which are related again and again. Now, if we know something of the faithfulness of God to others, then why not to me? And isn't this a great question that we can produce from this? That if God has been faithful unto one of the saints that has loved him, then if we love him, will he not be faithful unto us? You see, again, we have that wonderful foundation that we worship an unchangeable God. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. What he has been to one generation, he will be to the next and to all generations, even unto the end of time. He is a covenant-keeping God, full of compassion toward his people, not visiting their faults, but showing his great mercy and his love toward them. And what a privilege that David was given a son. And if you look in the earlier chapter, I think it's the chapter before perhaps, that David speaks of Solomon as being a wise man. So God gave unto David some perception of the one that would sit upon his throne. And remember the promise to David that there would always be one to sit upon the throne of David. Yes, even forever and ever. And of course he refers there to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rightful King of Zion. But then he comes to himself. Solomon has been given a rich kingdom. David in his latter days had subdued their enemies. But the kingdom was strong and built up, and other kingdoms were in subjection unto them. So what Solomon inherits is a marvelous kingdom. And he, the sole heir to the throne. And God had given him this wisdom and discernment to be able to reign. But what does Solomon himself consider concerning himself? And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. What a wonderful respect he has unto his father. One who had served God faithfully all his days. And he looks and he considers that in comparison I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Now here is a trait that we have noticed in these four times that we have considered prayer this year. That each one has shown a spirit of humility. Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt thee in due season. And here we have before us in these verses a wonderful proof of that. Here is a man, a young man. And often a young man is proud and arrogant. Young people at times seem to think they know it all. But here Solomon displays his spirit of grace and shows that he knows nothing. But as a child, and recognizes himself to be a child, he also recognizes that he has a teachable spirit. And isn't this a wonderful thing? Whether we're young in the way, or whether we've been many years traversing here below, we still have much to learn. We are still but poor, weak, humble creatures. And it will be our mercy if God keeps us low, keeps us ever at the feet of Jesus, to humbly walk before him all the days of our lives. There are many in Christendom today who are proud, proud of their attainments, proud of their knowledge, proud of being able to quote a scripture and verse, but is not the spirit of a true child of God. And one has to wonder whether the grace of God has ever entered into their hearts. Of course, it's not for us to judge. But Solomon shows here a deep sense of his felt need. Isn't this, in the first place, the only way in which a person can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, feeling a deep sense of their utter need, realizing that there was only one that could supply that need, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Here is the means. Christ is the one who is able to give us what we need. Our dependency then must be wholly upon him. Our hearts must be fixed. As David says in one of his Psalms, my heart is fixed, O Lord, my heart is fixed. Fixed upon the Almighty. Fixed upon the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thing if our heart is truly fixed there. And then he considers of the great work to which he has been called. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Why does he need that? Well, in verse 8 it says, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. The Lord sometimes calls his people to a great work. The ministry is a great work. And who is sufficient for these things? We have no sufficiency in and of ourselves. And the Lord will show us from time to time our utter dependence upon him. Without me, he says, ye can do nothing. And so we live to prove it. What a great work the Lord lays upon us. He lays upon us a greater work than we can even consider that we could perform. And yet, as he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. By the grace of God, we can do all things and abound. Without that grace, we are utterly sunk. We can do nothing. But you see, here is not a hasty youth. Here is one that has contemplated upon the great work that he is called to do. And he doesn't try and put it off or deem another more fit than himself. No, he knows that God has called him to the work that he has given him. I believe every child of God in measure is called to a certain work. Whether it is to gossip the gospel as it is sometimes spoken. Whether it is to show a moral, decent, upright life, a holy life. Whether it is to take some position in the church, some office to bear. In all these things, we cannot do it of ourselves. And so, Solomon lays this before the Lord. And how good it is when we can come to God in prayer. And say, Lord, in and of myself, these things are too hard for me. How can I undertake them? How can I possibly bear the weight of the burden? But as the Lord has called him, so the Lord will equip him. We may wonder why it was necessary for Moses to be 40 years in the wilderness. Leading the sheep of his father-in-law. But the Lord was teaching him. Here was his training period. And Paul, when he was first converted, went forth speaking the gospel. It was only as the Lord enabled him. And we can only do anything as the Lord is pleased to enable us. So we come to the words of his request. Remember that the Lord has said, ask what I shall give thee. Well, as yet, Solomon has not asked for anything. He has shown unto God what he is and who he is. But now, he comes to, as it were, to the point. And sometimes we need to be direct in our prayers to ask God for specific things. Why do we not receive? Well, James tells us because we ask amiss. The Lord is quite clear when he says, ask and it shall be given unto you. But we have to ask in faith, not in unbelief. If there rests unbelief in our hearts, in coming to God, then we cannot expect to receive anything of his hand. But the Lord, remember, is a liberal giver. He withholdeth not to them that ask him. And so Solomon asks, but what does he ask for? Does he ask for the pleasures of this life? Does he ask for riches? Does he ask for fame? Does he ask for ability to overcome all his enemies? Now you see, this man's heart is right with God. He asks for spiritual things because These really are the greatest things to ask for. Remember the hymn we sometimes sing, "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring." We cannot ask too much of the Lord. If we ask for spiritual things, we are asking for those things, as we shall see here, that pleases the Lord. He is a liberal giver. He giveth unto us. He upbraideth us not. His generosity is so great. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy people, this thy so great a people? He requests the wisdom of discernment. And isn't that which is greatly lacking today? That men and women are unable to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. We see it throughout society. We see it in dress. We see it in habits, in morals, in eating, in drinking, in all kinds of things. That man cannot discern what is right and wrong. And sadly, a whole generation of children are growing up not being taught these right principles. But again, Solomon is not asking for natural things. Rather, he wants a spiritual discernment. He wants to be right with God as well as man. He wants to be able to discriminate between the good and the evil. And how the Lord shows this in the account of the two harlots that come to Solomon with the one child. And how the wisdom of Solomon is displayed there. In giving the living child to the rightful mother. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. How things are dark until the light appears. In the night, we can see at best but shadows. And isn't this the state of a natural religion? Man sees nothing but shadows. But when the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shines into his heart, then he is able to see the truth. He's able to understand the great scheme of salvation. He can see that which was lacking before. That which is revealed unto him, that he might understand. You know, the apostles, for the most part, were ignorant men. But when, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them in great profusion, then what words they could speak, what eloquence they displayed. When later they were brought before the high priests and leaders of the Jews, they had to acknowledge that these men had been with Jesus. That something had taken place in their hearts, which was reflected in their lives. And I believe that when the Lord regenerates a person, when a person is born again of the Spirit of God, there is such a change which is noticeable to all people. But now there is a difference. And Solomon really, he prays that this work of grace that had begun in his heart might be enlarged. as we are told, he giveth more grace. And don't we stand in need of more grace, day by day, so that we may live before God and man aright? That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Who is able to perform these things? And he recognizes here that no one has any self-ability, but everyone stands in need. And every one of us here this night stands in need of the grace of God to enable us to discern between good and bad. How else are we to lead our lives? To refrain from evil and to do that which is good? For we live in a day when good is called evil and evil is called good. The whole world is turned upside down. Things have gone so far now that young people are growing up not knowing the difference. Not knowing what good is, not knowing what evil is. Because these things have been so mixed up together. Then, especially today, what a marvelous thing that our God, through his Son Jesus Christ, should give us that discernment, that we may know the difference. And it's only through grace that we will come to perceive that difference. Now here is a very selfless prayer. Solomon is not praying for himself. Of course there are times when we need to pray for ourselves. But here it had been shown unto him the responsibilities and burdens that he must carry. The only thing he asks for himself is wisdom. And that wisdom to the benefit of others. That he might rule this kingdom aright. Well, we may not be called to rule a kingdom. But perhaps we're called to rule a household. And even where there's only husband and wife, we need to work according to God's word. We need to do that which is right in his sight. And to show that we honor God with our hearts and with our lives. Now you'll notice in verse 10 that this prayer pleased the Lord. Now let us remember that the Lord knew exactly what he would give unto Solomon before ever he came to him. And it is again a reminder to us that we are to ask for those things that God has determined to give unto us. I will be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, to do these things for you. There is a sense, of course, that God does not need our prayers. But he has called us to pray. And we respect him and honor him by making our petitions known unto him. And therefore God is pleased. Often we kneel to pray. And perhaps we get up from that prayer afterwards feeling what poor petitions. And perhaps in a sense we're very much displeased with what we brought before the Lord. But the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our desires. Because, as I say again, if he has indicted prayer in our hearts, it is because and simply because he determines to answer it. And look what he did for Solomon. he gave him what he requested. And if that was not enough, the Lord gave him also that which he did not request. Riches and honor. These things then should be to us an encouragement. To pray always. That is, to continually beseech the throne of grace. To call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who takes our prayers and enters them in. Perfect. Solomon was given these things, we cannot but help give this word of warning. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, those riches and honour, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my father David did walk, so then I will lengthen thy days. Well, we know that Solomon failed here, and his life was, as it were, cut short. He did not live into great old age, because his heart turned from God. But not irrevocably. Because again we have that wonderful consideration that once in Christ forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. And nothing that we do, nothing that others do, nothing that heaven or hell can do, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.